Welcome to another episode of the Last Post Radio Show podcast series. You're with Greg T. Ross, and it's my pleasure today to introduce Brody Moore, CEO of MediLinx. Brody, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Greg. Yeah, I'm fantastic. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Brody, if you could just give listeners a bit of a background about MediLinx itself, how it started, why it started.
So my background, I'm a Brisbane local. I was a Brizzy boy and grew up in Brisbane pretty much my whole life. And from a young age, from about 15 years old, I knew I wanted to join the army. I read a book when I was about 15 years old called The Amazing SAS after a family friend who was an Air Force pilot recommended it. I was fascinated by the SSR and the army culture and the role that they played in the Australian Defence Force. So I set my sights on becoming a rifleman from a pretty young age. And as soon as I could, I finished high school and didn't do too well, to be completely honest, because I had my sights fixed on I knew what I wanted to do and joined it at 17 years old and was posted to the 6th Battalion Royal Australian Regiment after I finished my basic training and initial deployment training. So from a quite a young age, joining at 17, obviously, like a lot of people do. And then I was fortunate enough to serve overseas and on operations in Afghanistan pretty much straight away once I reached the unit. So in 2010, when I was 18 years old, I went to Afghanistan on mentoring Task Force One. And that was really, I suppose, the highlight of my career. And I served for another 4 years. I'm lucky enough to do some non-combat and non-operational deployments to, you know, Malaysia and South Korea and Thailand and wonderful places like that. And I figured that the army wasn't forever for me, and changed my mind about that. And so when I was in the army, though, an additional qualification as a rifleman, I was a combat first aider. So in my group and my section, I was responsible for the battlefield first aid, if you will. So that sparked an interest in obviously healthcare and doing something in the healthcare space. And so I decided to pursue a career as a registered nurse once I decided to transition from the ADF. I studied that Bachelor of Nursing and worked in a number of clinical settings. Started in pediatrics with kids and babies, which really I was planning to do to set me up for the emergency department and working in emergency where you see people of all ages. And so I did that and worked in emergency and GP settings as well, which then, you know, through that time, obviously, I was very aware through my own lived experience, and my colleagues, people I served with, about the struggles when it came to mental health, my unit in particular, and after that trip to Afghanistan, which we suffered a lot of casualties, was really, you know, decimated by a number of mental health issues. So, you know, we lost 10 Australian soldiers, paid the ultimate sacrifice when I was there, 6 from my battle group, so that I was working pretty closely with. And obviously that leaves a pretty big mark for a number of people. Obviously was really, really tragic. So understanding these struggles firsthand, I wanted to do something about that and really fortunate enough to find some like-minded individuals, and together we formed MediLinx, which is a private psychiatry practice that is dedicated to supporting current and former members of the Australian Defence Force with really high quality psychiatric services.
And what a story, Brody Moore. Thank you for sharing that. It gives us an insight into why and how MediLinx came about. And on behalf of a lot of veterans, I imagine too, a big thanks for doing that. There have been, obviously, in the past, we'll say there have been hurdles set up with obviously seeking psychiatric care. And I guess a lot of that's through the veterans themselves reluctant to put their hands up. But things are changing. And your mission, obviously, is to support veterans the best way possible. How do you go about that at MediLinx?
Yeah, that's right. So we've We started our journey focusing on psychiatric assessments. So essentially, when an ADF member or former serving ADF member, a veteran, suffers or believes they've suffered and a mental health injury because of their service, then they often go and submit a mental health compensation claim with the Department of Veteran Affairs. So, the rehabilitation and compensation legislation, which governs all veterans' compensation and entitlements and treatment and support that they can receive, that's often a quite a complex and convoluted system to navigate, which is why there's new legislation coming out soon to try and streamline things a bit more. But when a veteran submits that mental health compensation claim, they often need to see a psychiatrist in order to, have an assessment and diagnosis of any mental health injuries that might exist, and see if there is that link to service, if their service caused these mental health injuries. So then the DVA can determine whether they accept liability for those mental health injuries or not. And then from there, the veteran would receive the compensation and entitlements and support that they need and deserve. They can receive support before that through something called non-liability health cover, it's amazing what if it's done right, what veterans can receive through the Department of Veteran Affairs and that rehabilitation and compensation legislation. But unfortunately, all too often, it's not done right. Sometimes that's because the veteran, really, like you said, Greg, struggles to speak up about their mental health and the struggles that they're facing, and that's for a multitude of reasons, many of which the Royal Commission into Defence and Veteran Suicide highlighted. But yeah, that obviously creates a bottleneck when it comes to accessing psychiatrists, because there's, like all medical professionals in Australia, there's a big skill shortage of psychiatrists. So there's only about 5,500 that are fellows with the Royal Australian New Zealand College of Psychiatrists. So unfortunately, that bottleneck leads to really long wait times, and a lot of veterans left waiting there in limbo until they have that assessment to then progress their claim and then receive their entitlement. So at Medilinx, we've formed a quite a large team of psychiatrists. We have about 13 or 14 psychiatrists on our team, and a number of our team have lived experience, like they have served over 8 or 9 members of our team. So that really equips us with a detailed knowledge and understanding of the struggles that a lot of veterans face, and the potential mental health injuries that could arise from service that are often not combat or operational related, as again the Royal Commission found. So many ADF members are suffering from mental health injuries that arise not because of warlike service, and so I think that's a really important thing to highlight, because the occupational hazards in that job, they're potentially everywhere,
Yes, it's
which is,
multi-layered. It's
it
multi-layered
is.
indeed, indeed. And of course, we understand that to a degree. Obviously, speaking with veterans over the years, it has come to the front that this is the case too, Brodie Moore. And I guess then that leads on also, I guess, to what we might call the hidden battle. I mean, from my personal point of view, with relatives that have fought in war from years ago, of course, when it wasn't as understood as it is now, Brodie. It was a hidden battle in many ways, of course, and that seems to be coming more to the fore in the regards that mental health in veterans is a primary.
Exactly right. And it's slowly, not it's not slowly it's not just in the ADF that it's slowly changing, but I think in all Australian society, it's slowly changing in terms of normalizing mental health struggles. I mean, everyone either has experienced mental health struggles themselves or a direct family member, like everyone's been touched by mental health at some stage in their life.
Yes, indeed.
So it is such a common thing, yet it is, there is such a stigma still around it, and obviously there's a number of I suppose institutional barriers potentially that ADF members face that prevent them from often from speaking up and getting the help and support that they need. The fear of, if I do speak up, then what's going to happen to my to my job? You know, am I going to
That's
lose
right.
my career and my passion? You know, what's the rest of my team, my section, you know, my troop? What are they going to think about me? You know, because
Yeah.
you can't see a mental health injury. It's what's known as an invisible injury, which is again,
Yes.
adds to that culture or that stigma of preventing people from reaching out for
Yeah,
help and support.
the truest words ever said, Brody, of course, about it being hidden in the sense that you can't see it physically. You can see a broken limb, you can see scars, but of course, not so with mental health. And that's why it's so important for people to speak about it and to come forward when suffering from mental health. You're with Greg T. Ross and Brody Moore, CEO of Medilinx. We're going to take a short break and be back in just a moment.
More soon on the Last Post radio show.
Exmouth is a welcoming coastal town, brimming with adventure. It's your base to discover some of the most spectacular scenery on the planet. Jump into the ocean and swim with beautiful aquatic creatures, big and small. Or head to the surrounding coastline, rugged and dramatic, for even more opportunities to get among nature. A 13-hour drive or 2-hour flight from Perth, Exmouth is the gateway to the World Heritage listed Ningaloo Marine Park, the world's largest fringing reef. Glimpse kaleidoscopic fish darting between the coral from a glass-bottom boat, or snorkel in the crystal clear shallows of Turquoise Bay as turtles and manta rays gracefully glide past. Exmouth and its surrounds offer some of the most unforgettable encounters you'll ever experience. Between March and August, swim with whale sharks, the gentle giants of the sea. Closer to shore, spectacular Navy Pier is one of the world's top land-based dive sites to immerse yourself in a dazzling array of marine life. But the aquatic encounters don't end there. From August to October, majestic humpback whales cruise the deep blue waters, while from November to March, nesting turtles make the beach their own. You can swap shimmering turquoise waters for the rust-red terrain of Cape Range National Park, just a short drive from Exmouth. Lace up your hiking boots and explore ancient cliffs and canyons, keeping an eye out for local wildlife like emus, red kangaroos, and spiny echidnas. Back in Exmouth, indulge in some barefoot luxury and toast the day's adventures with a chilled local white, craft beer, or some of the region's fabulously fresh produce. Then, get ready to do it all again tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Last Post radio show. You're with Greg T. Ross and Brody Moore from Medilinx. Brody, we were speaking about mental health in veterans and, of course, being the hidden battle and not being visible physically, so it becomes a bit of an issue, and how things are changing. Do you see your role as more important than ever?
Yeah, I definitely do, Greg. So we're really fortunate on our team as well to actually have one of the commissioners that was on the Royal Commission into Defence Veteran Suicide, Dr. Peggy Brown, who is actually a psychiatrist. She's our chief medical officer. So again, that gives us a really deep knowledge and understanding of the Royal Commission into Defence Veteran Suicide and the struggles that current and former serving members are facing, and allows us to develop our services, or further develop our services and model of care to directly support the recommendations from that final report from the commission. So, you know, one of the, I suppose there's 122 recommendations in that Royal Commission into Defence Veteran Suicide, Greg, and obviously that's a lot to unpack. That's a lot of recommendations to go and implement, and challenges to tackle. But I think that the lines of effort that they mentioned within the Royal Commission that really shaped all of the recommendations are a great way to really understand the overall challenges here that we're trying to tackle. You know, and for those, they are prevention of harm first and foremost. You know, so if we can stop occupational injuries, you know, mental health injuries from arising, then we can obviously downstream of that prevent suicides and self-harm and or from mental health injuries from ever arising. But then if we can't, you know, because ultimately it is still a dangerous job and mental health injuries are going to be caused, then the next line of effort is intervening early. You know, and that's where we come in at Medilinks, is being able to provide speed and ease of access into psychiatric services that are of the highest quality, and you know, really having lived experience on our team, building a better sense of trust and in the veteran community to actually reach out for support. You know, we're often, you know, tragically doing psychiatric assessments and supporting individuals that are, you know, in their 70s or 80s, you know, that have lived for generations, you know, with these struggles, which is, you know, just absolutely tragic. So if we can, you know, really continue to change the stigma and encourage people and build awareness to our services and even if they don't come to us, but it's you know, just coming to someone, you know, or putting encouraging a family member or a friend who might be a veteran and you think they're struggling to do that, because for a number of these mental health injuries as well, avoidance is one of the key symptoms. You know, you know if you're suffering from post-traumatic stress, you don't want to often talk about any of your struggles or your traumas because it's just too hard, you know. So trying to instill courage in the veteran community and family and friends to speak up and reach out for support.
Yeah, very well said, Brody. I guess this is all important in breaking down the barriers too. And we say about the overall... Well, it covers a lot of us. We all know veterans, or we know of someone that knows a veteran. So through the wider community, it's essential to help break down these barriers. And I mean, you're doing a great job there at Medilinks to do that, which is fantastic stuff. And it's one of the reasons we're speaking with you today, to try and help veterans access your services. I do remember meeting a vet in the beer garden of a hotel in Richmond here in Melbourne many years ago. And he spoke to me about the fact that he didn't want medals, he didn't want any great la-di-da about anything except recognition perhaps of what he'd been through and how he came back feeling a stranger in his own society. And I guess this is what we spoke about too, Brody, about how this can last for years. You just said that you had some clients in their 70s and some in their 80s, which means they've carried that for their life. Is it harder to extinguish this problem if it's been there for so long?
Yeah, it's exactly, Greg. I mean, it's not an easy challenge to tackle and situation to improve. But, you know, I think it's all about, you know, obviously, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? So it's all about, you know, just tackling this one step at a time and making slow but incremental positive change. And like I said, Greg, there was 122 recommendations in that final report, and that was obviously them condensing the recommendations as much as possible. So there's a lot of things that we need to tackle there, and you know, we're obviously at Medilinks just trying to do our part and as much as we can, you know, trying to again promote that help seeking behavior and awareness that there's organizations out there. It's not an easy challenge. I mean, I think the Royal Commission found that you know, the statistics into defence veteran suicide aren't even quite accurate, because the data is often lacking. You know, the state or territory you know, bodies need to report any deaths that occur, and you know, often maybe the fact that person was a veteran never gets even reported, and that data never gets captured. So they think that as many as 3 veterans a fortnight are tragically taking their lives, which, I mean, you know, when you reflect on you know, the casualties that we've suffered in warlike service, you know, those numbers, you know, just much greater, which is, it's obviously something very wrong going on.
I suppose, Brody, a lot maybe, I don't know, I haven't had to go through this myself personally, but I've spoken to many that have, obviously. That can be perhaps reflected in the fact that it can be a long road to compensation, but I guess part of the way of easing that is to help these people understand that their mental health really matters.
Yeah, that's right. And I also think, you know, in saying all of this, Greg, that, you know, not everyone that joins the Australian Defence Force is going to suffer a mental health injury. You know, the Royal Commission highlighted that as well, is that, you know, this isn't speaking for everyone. I mean, so I think that's important as well, because I think the broken digger narrative in terms of painting everyone with the same brush, in terms of anyone that joins the Defence Force is broken once they come out, is just completely wrong, you know. It is, you know, extremely tragic that potentially preventable in mental health injuries are occurring in service, or definitely some of them are preventable, and that is tragic, and that needs to be changed as quickly as possible. But then it's also really important to note that so many people that join the Defence Force, you know, have amazing careers, and you know, have amazing experience in service of their country, and come out the other side with amazing skill sets and attributes to then continue to serve the rest of the Australian community in various industries and roles.
And they do it
So
so well. They do it so
they
well,
do.
Brody. And I know that through the last post, I can verify what you've just said, that the majority that come out go on to quite successful roles in society, which is, you know, what we hope for. But what's the importance, Brody, more of veterans supporting veterans? I suppose that's the Medilinks approach. How important is that to have someone on side like that?
Yeah, well, I think you know, having lived experience in our team just, you know, firstly, you know, breaks down a bit of a barrier in terms of that veteran may be questioning whether, you know, that organization's the right fit for them, you know, and which could be a barrier to them, you know, reaching out and getting the support that they, you know, that they need and deserve. So, you know, that starts to automatically build trust in a lot of the veteran community, that we're an organization that understands what it's like to be in their shoes, and we understand the best model of care to support them. You know, I mean, just like any industry, you know, the ADF has its own language. You know, it's its own world, and it is. I mean, even for myself, I was a member of the army, but you're speaking a completely different language to me if you're talking about something in the Navy or Air Force. You know, my brother served as a rifleman with me in 6R. I was really fortunate to serve with my brother, and then he's gone on to since join the Air Force, and you know, he talks to me about his role now, and you know, it's like he's speaking a different language. I don't even know what he's talking about. So, and obviously I give him a lot of flack for you know, joining the Air Force, but it's all friendly, brotherly banter. But yeah, it does go a long way to have that lived experience on our team, and that knowledge and understanding of what veterans have been through, and what the best way to support them is.
It sounds perfect because, of course, I mean, veterans supporting veterans, you have being assisting people are veterans that have actually made that transition to Brodie and have done so successfully. So you not only have the help there on that level, but you have that professional help that you're able to provide at Medilinks. And what a brilliant way to spend your life in helping others, really. It's just something that we dips our lids to. We take our hat off to you in that sense. And we spoke about service to civilian life and how it's not an issue for all, but of course, when it's an issue for one, it becomes something worth talking about, I think. And this is, I suppose, what you've done through the psychiatric help there with your 13 or 14 psychiatrists that you have there at Medilinks, which is great. The transition struggle, how is it eased by seeing Medilinks?
I think you know, the Royal Commission again highlighted that there's a number of really high risk periods, if you will, in an ADF member's career and service life. You know, when they first join, you know, and the culture shock of being in the civilian world, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're at Kapooka, and you've got two sheets over your shoulder, and you're at detention, and you're like, wow, this is full on. I mean, I experienced it. You go to sleep on that first night and you go, did I make the right decision? But obviously that quickly changes. But that is definitely a high risk period, you know. And then some other high risk periods, you know, for example, obviously going on deployment and returning from deployment, when you're posted. So a lot of members are posted every 2 or 3 years on a posting cycle. So all of a sudden you've got to uproot your whole life and your whole family and your routine and pull your kids out of school and then go somewhere else. I mean, that's obviously extremely stressful, and it is again a high risk period when it comes to mental health. And then, you know, obviously another one, a high risk period, is transition. And, you know, the transition from ADF into the civilian world and the struggles that veterans face isn't unique just to the ADF. You know, it is, you know, a number of careers. You know, I'm sure police, firemen and ambulance services, you know, emergency services and first responders would all face similar things. Professional athletes, you know, anyone that is making a big change in their life, you know, does suffer from these similar struggles. In terms of, I think one of the biggest things that a lot of veterans face is a bit of an identity crisis. You know, your group identity when you're in the Australian Defence Force, and your purpose, your mission is bigger than just your individual identity. You know, I was a part of the army, obviously, and the Green Machine. You know, that's bigger than you as an individual soldier, Brody Moore. You know, so all of a sudden you're in the civilian world, and you've got to figure out, what's my new path? You know, what is my what is my new purpose?
What am I getting up each morning for? What am I getting?
Exactly. Yeah. And so actually, for me personally, the book by Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning, I think that's a fantastic book and something that I'd recommend to anyone. That's,
what's it called?
Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. It's an amazing book. He was a psychiatrist, or Austrian psychiatrist, I believe. That it was he was Jewish, and he was in tragically in the concentration camps in Nazi Germany, and for years he was in these concentration camps, and he was actually, before he was in that situation, he had a therapy called logotherapy, which logos is, I believe, the Latin word for meaning. So the therapy was all about finding your meaning, you know. So this this man's search for meaning is really, you know, a powerful message that, you know, that I think, you know, is a factor in what a lot of veterans struggle with. You know, that they struggle to go, okay, what is my new meaning? What is my new direction, my new purpose? So, I mean, I was fortunate enough that I had a plan in terms of what my career and, you know, that path looked like. And again, I was fortunate as well that I came away without, you know, injuries that weren't well managed. But unfortunately, not all veterans are the same in terms of, you know, a lot of the time they might be discharging not on their own terms. It might be a medical discharge. You know, they might not want to leave, and then all of a sudden they're thrust into the civilian world and have to figure out, well, what's next. You know, what am I doing? And on top of that, they might have, you know, mental or physical injuries that they're suffering with and dealing with, and all the other pressures and struggles in life. So yeah, all of these things I suppose lead to some veterans really, really struggling with that transition and not knowing the first place to start. But, you know, for me personally, I think obviously if you are suffering from mental health or physical injuries, then that's probably the first and foremost thing that you need to get under control. And again, not all ADF members, you know, are completely honest or come forward about those injuries until they transition. Again, out of that fear of what's going to happen to my career, or that stigma, or some of these barriers. So, you know, often they come out and they, you know, they might then decide that, you know, I need to get on top of these injuries before I, you know, really thrive after service. And that's what I'd really encourage is, again, that help seeking behavior, like put your hand up. The earlier that you reach out for help, the better the likelihood of, you know, a positive outcome.
Indeed it is, Brody, too. And of course, we spoke about Search for Meaning and Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl, was it? A brilliant sounding book that we must have a look at. It is said that you're likely to live a longer life if you feel you have meaning in it. So that's very well said, and you're right on top of that too. So Brody Moore, you read the amazing SAS as a 15-year-old. You went on to join the 6th Battalion, went to Afghanistan in 2010. You're 18 then, bless you, and became a registered nurse. How do people get in touch with MediLinks?
Yeah, you can reach out to us via medilinks.com.au. Either send us an email or call us. All our details are on the website, and we'd be more than happy to help. If we can't help, then we would definitely point you in the right direction and provide that path for you in terms of what the right help is and what the right fit is for you. Ultimately, we're just a team that is extremely passionate about supporting current and former serving members of the Australian Defence Force. So, like I said, even if it's not us helping you, we want to help everyone and try and prevent some of these tragic outcomes that current and former serving members of the Australian Defence Force are having.